Pretty sweet. All right, come to me. How you guys doing? That was fantastic. Thank you so much, guys. That was really, really great. Let's give them another hand. You know, I love that we serve and love a God who loves us having a great time in his name. You know? We serve a very, very powerful good God. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to your word, we ask that you would bless this time. Father, use it for your glory. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you as we've been going through 1 Samuel and we've been seeing your power, Lord, a power that cannot be directed, a power that cannot be changed. You are in control. We are not. So, Father, we ask that our hearts would be humbled before you, that our hearts would be humbled before your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, very few people tremble at the power of God. If you look around the world today, you'll see very few people tremble at the word of God. And you'll see people, it seems like they're getting away with it, living lives, getting away with it, doing things. We've got a world that's in chaos. And where we ended last week in 1 Samuel was, remember, the Samuel had been proclaimed the prophet, and here he's the guy. And what follows next? Utter and complete loss. 1 Samuel 4, 9 through 11 ended last week with, "Be strong, Philistines, be men." That's the response of the Philistines to Israel, bringing the ark of God to the battle. "Be strong, Philistines, be men, or you will be subject to the Hebrews as they have been to you. Be men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and the Israelites were defeated, and every man fled to his tent. The slaughter was very great. Israel lost 30,000 foot soldiers. The ark of God was captured, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Utter and complete destruction. Sometimes when we look at what God is doing, we don't get it, do we? Sometimes it seems like God's been defeated. So many people live, all of us at times in our lives, have lived lives as though God was not God. I want us to stand for the reading of the word. This is from 1 Samuel 5. "After the Philistines had captured the ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then they carried the ark into Dagon's temple and set it beside Dagon. When the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. They took Dagon and put him back in his place. But the following morning when they arose, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. His head and hands had been broken off and were lying on the threshold. Only his body remained. That is why to this day, neither the priests of Dagon nor any others who enter Dagon's temple at Ashdod step on the threshold. The Lord's hand was heavy upon the people of Ashdod and its vicinity. He brought devastation upon them and afflicted them with tumors. When the men of Ashdod saw what was happening, they said, 'The ark of God of Israel must not stay here with us, because his hand is heavy upon us and upon Dagon, our God.' So they called together all the rulers of the Philistines and asked them, 'What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?' They answered, 'Have the ark of God of Israel moved to Gath.' So they moved the ark of God of Israel. But after they had moved it, the Lord's hand was against that city, throwing it into a great panic. He afflicted the people of the city, both young and old, with an outbreak of tumors. So they sent the ark of God to Ekron." I love the humor of the word. "As the ark of God was entering Ekron, the people of Ekron cried out, They have brought the ark of God of Israel around to us to kill us and our people. So they called together all the rulers of the Philistines and said, send the ark of God of Israel away. Let it go back to its own place, or it will kill us and our people. For death had filled the city with panic. God's hand was heavy upon it. Those who did not die were afflicted with tumors, and the outcry of the city went up to heaven. You may be seated. Wow. We all know people who try and hustle the system. There's a lot of hustlers in here, aren't there? Or ex-hustlers who are trying to give up the hustle, right? We all belong in here, right? Amen. Guys, often people play games with God. We often play games with God. And I want to encourage you, don't do it. Because you know what? Just like at the end of last chapter, it may seem like when you come against God, you can win. You can have your cake and eat it too. You can do what you want and there are no consequences. But as we see now with the Philistines, they thought, man, they were terrified. And their response to the ark of God, what represented God's presence coming amongst the people of Israel, be men and fight. Be men and fight. I love how it said, after the Philistines had captured, look at this, the dominant wording in every part of this first two verses. After the Philistines had captured the ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then they carried the ark of Dagon's temple and set it beside Dagon. I mean, they own every part of that. They captured it, they took it, they carried it, they set it beside. We're in charge. We do what we want. Guys, have you lived that life? I do what I want. We've been hearing a lot of songs about what that kind of mindset leads to. It's the same thing that's being experienced here. When you come against God, when you live a life against God, there's consequences. And the natural consequences that God allows and the things that God brings in to bring us to humility, both are present. God loves us enough to not take away the consequences of our sin. Then in verses 3 through 5, as they take, I want you guys to picture this. Now, Dagon, it's the Philistines' biggest, tallest statue to worship, their biggest god. And so they put this statue, their big bad boy, and they bring the ark, and the ark is quite small in comparison. And they set it at the feet of Dagon. And you can just feel the pride of the people as, look at our god compared to their god. Look at this. And then I love that we don't get to see behind the curtain here. I love that we don't know how this took place. We don't know if angels came and there was a spiritual battle that took place in this room. We don't know. What we know is the next morning, there's Dagon worshiping God, bowing before God. And what's the response of the people? Our God, let's get our God back up. Let's get him back up. He needs a hand. He needs a lot of hands. He's pretty heavy. And they put their God back up and, you know, that's okay. A little embarrassing. He's okay. We're good. We're good. We're good. All right. Don't tell anybody about that. You good? All right. And what happens the next day? Not only is he down, but his hands and his head have broken off. The wording actually there is the wording to use, chopped off. Chopped off. God chops off the head and the hands. And what do? They what? They stand their God what? Back up. And he's without what? his head in his hands. Now, guys, I want to ask you a question. What would your response be at this point? I think it's interesting that the second time, as it says in verse 4, but the following morning when they rose, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. The ark of the Lord, what it says there is the ark of Yahweh. It's a different way to explain the ark of the Lord. For about two chapters, they've talked about the ark of the Lord, but not with the ark of the Lord, Yahweh. And there's something that's being said here in that scripture, which is the second time that this thing comes down. Man, what is it saying? His head and his hands were broken off. Yahweh, God's promise to his people. He hasn't forgotten. Guys, do you remember what's happening at this time? We talked about it last week. And remember, sometimes in a narrative story, we're not getting it exactly in order because things are happening in different places at different times. But last week we talked about one of Levi's sons and his wife after he had died, after the sons had died and Levi, and then there's the wife, and she gives birth, and she dies as she gives birth, and she calls him, do you remember what his name was?
Ichabod.
God's glory has departed. Ichabod, where's the glory? Where's the glory? A dying mother and her baby are asking that question right now at this same time. Where's the glory? We're seeing where the glory is. We're seeing where the glory is. The glory of God does not go away. It does not disappear. It does not exist for a while. But God reveals himself in different ways at different times. God shows his hand at his time. He shows his power. And as it continues, the Ark of God of Israel, nobody wants it. It goes from one city to the next, to the next, to the next. And as soon as it comes in, people start dying and getting tumors. And they can't have it. They can't have it. And their response is, what's the response that's appropriate? God, forgive me. I don't know what I was doing worshiping this false idol. You're obviously more powerful. Our God not only bows to you, but breaks before you. Forgive me. I repent of my sin. I come to you. That's the appropriate response. But instead it's, this God is too powerful. Get him out. But guys, we do that in our lives, in our way, don't we? We have a glimpse of God. Some of you, before you came to Christ, some of you don't know Jesus yet personally, and you've seen glimpses of God and his power. God's power. You've seen that glimpse, and your response has been, I don't want any part of it. It's too frightening. You know what? It is. It's too frightening if it wasn't a loving God. If God was just a God of wrath, be terrified and run for your lives. But we don't have just a powerful God. We have a powerful God who loves us. We have a powerful God who knows us and loves us anyway. He knows our hearts. And so they send it, and they send it, and they send it. And finally, it comes to Ekron. They sent the Ark of God to Ekron. In verse 10, it says, as the Ark of God was entering Ekron, it's not the leaders. Look what it says. I love this. The people of Ekron cried out. As they see the Ark coming in, the leaders don't even get a chance. The people have heard what's going on. The people say, no, we're not going to allow that in here. The people rise up and they say, we're not going to allow it. They have brought the Ark of God of Israel around to kill us and our people. These are the same ones who were saying what? Be men and fight. Do you see how the hearts have changed? When you live a life, you can, for a while, you can get your way. You can have your cake and eat it too. And you can think, I can come against God and there are no consequences. I will do as I please.
And as Christians, we say it a little bit nicer. We say, oh, we love a gracious God. God is so good. You know what? I'll do what I want because I'm forgiven. God won't be mocked. Guys, don't play with God. Don't play with the power of God. Don't think that you can control God, that you can use him where it's appropriate. You can bring him in a little here and bring, you know, kind of like salt and pepper, a little bit just to make it just right. That's not how God works. God is in charge. He's the one who is the one we look up to for the answers. He's the one that we follow. It ends like this in verses 11 and 12. So they called together all the rulers of the Philistines and said, Wait, listen to that. So they called. Who's they? The people. So all the people are realizing something's not right. Dagon's not getting it done. Have you seen him lately? He looks a little different. So they called the people together, all the rulers, called together all the rulers and Philistines and said, send the ark of God of Israel away. Let it go back to its own place. Or it will kill us and our people. An act of complete surrender. A realization without a humility, guys, without a receiving of what that truth means. They don't say, oh God. They say, get it out. For 15 years, I said, get out, God. I knew about the power of God. I'd seen it. I'd grown up in church. I'd grown up doing those kind of things. Going to Christian camp year after year, speaking Christianese year after year. And then there came a place where I didn't want God to get out. There was an understanding of who God was that was joined with a humbleness and a humility, a brokenness. Not because, oh, I've become so humble, because I was broken before God. And I realized I didn't have anything to bring to the table. And if you've got nothing to bring that's worthy of God, welcome, you belong. You belong with the rest of us because none of us have anything to bring that's worthy of God. Amen. It's by his grace and love we come. And that alone. And then it ends in the last end of 11 and 12. For death had filled the city with panic. God's hand was very heavy upon it. How would you like to have God's heavy hand on you? It's crushing. But it's also grace, guys. And I want you to hear this if you hear nothing else. The heavy hand of God is also the hand of grace because it's the one that brings truth into our understanding. And when I come to truth, that heavy hand of God becomes the gracious hand of God. And it lifts us out of the junk because we were ruling our lives. And every single one of us makes a mess of it. And so we go further and further into the gunk. Those who did not die were afflicted with tumors, and the outcry of the city went up to what? Heaven. I love that. This is how it is with defying God. This is exactly how it is. For a time, it looks like you can get away with it. For a time, everything looks sweet. And this same group of people that are saying, be men, be strong, here we go, man, are the ones who are coming to that place where their cry is going to the same cry as the Israelites, what? Up to heaven, up to God. All of us will cry before our Lord. We'll cry before the Savior of the world. The question is, do you know him? Do you know him? Guys, it's the same with Jesus on the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, the enemy was saying, "Ha! Done! That Jesus, that God, that Creator, I finally overcome. He's in the grave. He's in the grave! I've won!" The enemy of God, the enemies of God, they thought it was over. But 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave. In Colossians 2, 13 through 15, it says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside," what? Nailing it to the cross. "He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame, just like Dagon, by triumphing over them in him." Guys, what a picture this is of the battle that's to come, of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, ascension. We have a God who knows us, who's prepared a place for us, and is waiting for us to come home. And not just home in heaven, but home to him. Because the kingdom of God doesn't start when we die. The kingdom of God is here and now in Christ Jesus. And we get him. We get to be with him. And that, all the junk, all the times that you think, "Why is that person getting away with what? God, really? Really?" Guys, we can put that aside. We don't have to compare. Because the glory of knowing him is we get to be in his presence here and now, experience his goodness in the chaos. And one day when this chaos is gone and we're in perfection, we get to enjoy him for eternity in that way. Guys, it's good news. It's good news. What needs to fall down and break before the Lord and Savior in your life? What are you worshiping? What idol in your life do you have with the head up that's come crashing down time and time again, and you keep standing them back up, and it gets smaller and smaller because the pieces keep falling off the idol? Guys, stop worshiping the idols. We need to. I know I do. We need to put those idols away and worship the one true God. What is it that gets in the way? What is it that you're trying to bring before God and say, "Look what I did. Look who I am. Look what I accomplished"? Not only does it come crashing down, but you don't even want to stand where it fell. Because it's just another reminder, isn't it? That the things we've built up, they don't compare to the truth. A loving God who knows you and has given everything for you and me. Guys, it's good news, and it's good news we need. If you haven't made a decision to follow Jesus, I would ask you, don't play games with God. Don't put up the idols and taunt him. He's a good God. He's powerful, yes, but he's also loving and full of grace and mercy and kindness. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Bless us this day. We decide, we choose right now to throw those idols out and worship the one true God. Show us how to do it, God. We need your help in even doing it. Humble us, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.